Welcome to the Christian Life and Leadership Podcast. My name is Tim, and today I want to share some thoughts for the overwhelmed youth worker. Whether or not you're paid or full-time or part-time or a volunteer who is working with youth ministry students in the next generation, I want to share these thoughts today just to encourage you and to give you some hope for making sure some things begin to move down the right path.
Thank you for joining us on the Tim Price Christian Life and Leadership Podcast. We're praying for each of our listeners, pastors, worship leaders, student ministry and kids ministry leaders, and the church in general. If you have any questions, connect with us at timpriceblog.com.
Most local church youth workers want to see things grow. From the ones that I know and are a part of, they think about and they make plans to, and they are involved in helping to share Christ to help students encounter Jesus. They want the number of students to grow, and they want the spiritual depth in each of the students they know to grow. And at the same time, we forget about the main goal in the whirlwind. It often happens. The weekly programming, overcommitted students and families, personal obligations in our own lives, the ministry role as a whole, and some of the pieces that go to that, and really just a host of life issues, cause us at times to lose steam on the basics. So I wanted to share this post today just to kind of encourage any youth worker who might be feeling a little bit overwhelmed. Limiting this post to just four of these tips, there are so many practical ways and things that you can do, and some of those might include taking a nap or scheduling a day off or getting coffee to talk with another ministry peer or talk with your pastor or ministry supervisor, or maybe just even find time to catch up on something that's not related to your ministry role that you really enjoy. All those things are important, and making sure that our hearts and our lives are right with God, that our Sabbath times are carved out, that we have an opportunity to be engaged in His Word and prayer, all those things are going to really be an anchor in our lives. But in this podcast, I just wanted to share these four things that might help you regain some foothold on the direction of your ministry and also in your own energy as you continue to serve. None of these things cost any money, and all of them will help get things moving while also alleviating a little bit of your stress and pressure. So we're going to jump into these four things here, and if you're interested after hearing this, I hope you can implement one or two. And I also hope that if you have any thoughts or feedback or interested in talking a little bit about your ministry, would happy to reach out and visit with you. The website that you can connect with me at is timpriceblog.com/coaching, and it'd be awesome to get together. Well, here's the first one. Be the architect of your ministry. I first heard that phrase at a seminar we were hosting a long time ago, invited someone from Ministry Architects actually to come and be the presenter for that training day. And that phrase has always stuck with me. It's a good kind of phrase to begin to think about the fact that we, as the leader, are the one who has the opportunity to really be praying and planning and dreaming about what the ministry should look like. What is it that God is calling us to do with these students and this church, this ministry that we've been given? So you are the leader, and God has given you this place to serve for this season. We don't want to take our role lightly. We want to help move the mission forward by documenting the vision that we have for the ministry. And this doesn't have to be a huge presentation that you're going to give. You might give bits and pieces of it, or you might be even preparing to give some kind of talk to your leaders or church ministry leaders or whatever. Otherwise, this can really just be opening a blank page on your laptop and just brainstorming and dreaming and writing out some vision for what you would like your ministry to be like. And then take a minute to put that into the calendar in some way. In what way are you going to have that as a part of your schedule and life or events or training in your ministry? You want to write out the why and the what and the how. Why are you leading student ministry in your church? Sometimes it's helpful to think how you got involved to begin with. How did it happen that you are in your role at your church, either paid or volunteer? Get crystal clear on the why. And it would really be great if just that one line was easy to remember. When you have a why about ministry, that's not only going to stick with you, that's going to stick with people with whom you are serving and those you are serving. So you want to work on that and get that going. Then you move on to the what. And the what strategies are the things that you're going to use to accomplish the reason that you're here. So you know why you're here as you are reflecting. And then you want to figure out what needs to be done so that that why can take place. So what programs and plans and action will you take to move toward the goal? And then the third thing, of course, is the how. How are you going to accomplish these plans? This is really the little to-do list on the side. It's also maybe on the side of your document there, you're going to write down the people who are going to be involved. And you don't have to say no for other people. You can just brainstorm. Nobody will ever have to see this list, but brainstorm some people that you would love to see involved in helping you make this happen. Either as you delegate to them or as you pull them into your team, whatever that case is, list some names. You'd be surprised how the Lord might open some doors just thinking about them and praying that the Lord would be at work in adults around you so that you can together serve in ministry to students. So how are you going to make these plans happen? How are others going to help you? How can volunteers serve and interact and live life among students? How are people going to get involved? How are you going to lead? All these things, the why, the what, and the how. So we can just take a minute to write down a perfect world scenario, and then with a humble heart, just start thinking about what it would take to make that happen. So all that surrounds this simple statement that is number one on our list. Be the architect of your ministry. Now, it means basically that you're just kind of taking the opportunity to take the gifts that God's given you and the opportunity to serve and the season you're in and the location you're in and to do something with that, to become the person who is getting the vision and helping your ministry move that way. You're setting up the blueprints. You're kind of making it so that people can see what you're trying to build and they can join you in it. So if you feel like you're overwhelmed, one of the simple things to do is just sit down and write out your dreams for the ministry and just let that kind of sit with you for a while. The second thing that can help if you're feeling overwhelmed is to follow up with people. And follow up really is one of the best tools you have for ministry. And so if you can follow up and pull out some of these categories, follow up with somebody who mentioned one time that they'd be happy to help in any way, or follow up with somebody who is new to the ministry, some new volunteer who's only been serving for 6 months or a year. Whenever you have those conversations of thankfulness and gratitude and saying, I hope you're enjoying it, we love having you, that's going to boost you and give you some energy and some excitement and inspiration for the ministry. And when you follow up with people who are students and have visited your ministry or come on a special event or been a part of your life in some way, it also is an inspiration just to send them a note or to send them a text or whatever the case is to say thanks for being a part of the ministry. There is something here to follow up, and the 80-20 rule applies. If you spend a little time following up, inviting students and incorporating adults, it will provide 80% of the energy and excitement. As students connect, our energy for ministry grows. And so one of the things you could do if you're feeling overwhelmed is to back up from all the structure and all the stuff and go with the real basics. Follow up with somebody. Connect with somebody. Now, if you're in a ministry of a small to medium-sized church, you might be the key person who has the opportunity just to think through your list of 40 to 60 kids, and you might just consider following up with all of them. Send them all a note or send them all some kind of message or somehow set up some kind of program plan for making sure that each kid has some kind of connection from the church, some kind of touch point so they know that they belong, that they're loved. If you're a part of a ministry that is much more than that, then you could also follow up with some people who help you in ministry to encourage them to reach out to students. And in either case, follow-up is going to make a big difference. Another area that I think is simple to boost our spirits, help us not to feel so overwhelmed, is to really follow up and thank people who help us in leadership. So if somebody has helped you on an ongoing basis, it never hurts to send a thank you note. if somebody helps just for a one-time thing, it's always great to send some kind of letter or some kind of conversation to say it was awesome to have you. All right, number three, connect students to other adults. I just mentioned the possibility of one person kind of reaching out to a whole bunch of people. And in reality, I think it's almost impossible for one adult to do that kind of ministry with, after a certain number of students, it almost becomes impossible for it to be personal at all. And so one of the best gifts that we can give to ourselves and to the church, to the effective ministry of reaching students, is to get our students connected to a web of adults, to get our students connected to others in the church. And I don't want to overwhelm you with this list to try to help you not be overwhelmed, but if you can begin to build the systems of having adults involved in the lives of the next generation, of shouldering the load for ministry, it is going to make an impact that goes far beyond you or them being there. It's no longer just one voice speaking to them, but many people. And we work to align ourselves with families and parents and ministry leaders around the church to be a team in getting kids involved. Now, I say kids, and I mean young adults, student ministry age students. One of the best things that I've noticed in our ministry is that whenever students are serving in other capacities, they wind up with other adult connections. And these adult connections don't have to be, they could be small group leaders and different people within the ministry, and I'm so thankful for those folks who serve with us in that capacity. But it also can be people who are just leading ministry teams. So there might be students who are helping with kids ministry or worship tech ministry or worship music ministry. And in each of those cases, they have another voice leading from the church and another adult who is involved in walking the Christian faith out and living the life in church. And so there's more adults that notice them, more adults that give them words of instruction and words of thanks and words of praise, and more people helping them to belong. And that's just one simple way to do it. Another way, of course, is to build in the kind of fabric that allows adults from the church who may not lead a ministry role that students are connected in, but just take interest in the students. There's a few ways that might be easy to do that. One way is to notice a few of the people in your church who really love social media and make sure they are connected to the student ministry social media, so that whenever you post stuff or put pictures out or mention some kind of event coming up, that several of adults in your church kind of overwhelm the social media accounts with likes and hearts and great going, and we love to see our student type comments. And I've done that before. I've actually just sent a message to a whole bunch of people that I notice are social media users and whatever platform, and just say, hey, help me love these kids through social media. Now, I always feel like I need to add in the disclaimer that we do have to have boundaries. We don't want to turn over any kind of reins to the general public of, you know, how they're going to interact with students. But most of these folks, all the folks that I have connected with on those kind of levels, are the type of people who I believe would be thinking about the ministry of the church as a whole and the boundaries that come with working with the next generation. And it's just a great way for them to be a part of that. Another way is maybe even a more systematic way, and that is just opportunities for adults to serve. Many of those are the short-term type of events. If you have a weekend event at your church or some sort of special trip in the summer, that's maybe be a better fit for some adults who can't commit to being involved every single week at student ministry, but they definitely would be there for a special event here and there. Or one last thought, and we had great success with this as well a few months back, and that is that we arranged the opportunity for many of our students to have dinner in the homes of some of the church members. And it was in groups of three or four students and an adult leader, and we just literally got in the vehicles and drove to the home that we were assigned, sat down, had dinner for about 90 minutes, hung out and visited, and then left. And the feedback we got from that was that there wasn't enough time, and it was totally delightful, and the leaders loved it. And so if there is a way in all those ideas or other ideas that you have or do or or could have, one of the best things that we can do for our students and our church is to connect students to other adults besides ourselves. And we have to do that liberally and generously and with a lot of gusto, because literally, one person can't do student ministry. You might be at your church for a long, long time, but you might also be there just for a few years. In either case, when these students come back home from college or come back as young adults, or they're involved in their church for the long haul past student ministry, they need to have people who are there saying, "Oh, it's good to see you. Oh man, I remember the days when. It's awesome that you're involved. We love having you as a part of our church. We have the relationship." And when they walk into the building, it's not just the hired youth pastor from their high school days. It's people who they have a relationship with because they've served with them. And then on to the last one, and that is the fourth tip for the potentially overwhelmed youth worker. Do you have a prayer plan? One of the best things you can do for your ministry is to create a prayer plan. Don't try to do student ministry alone, that's for sure. We've already kind of covered that. But we have to rely on God's strength if we're going to have any impact. John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we have to remain in him. We need to definitely develop a prayer plan for ourselves, that we're praying for students and we're praying for their lives. And we have some kind of system to make sure we remember how to do that. I heard somebody one time say that on Monday they prayed for 7th graders and Tuesday was 8th graders and the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders. And they literally had the names of their students printed out and put in a binder, and they flipped through it and prayed for each one each day. And there might be other ways you can incorporate people and kind of delegate, in a sense, prayer. You can have your small group leaders from your church pray, or you can incorporate a team of people from your church who may not have any direct contact with students, but they are willing to gather and pray each week or during the student ministry time slot. However that works out, there are ways to do this that are pretty simple. You can set up a texting loop for people who want to pray for special prayer requests. You can set up an email distribution list. You can invite some of your students to submit prayer partner names. You could organize a prayer partner with an adult in the church and a student in the church. Whatever you can do, create a prayer plan. And then don't get too worried if your prayer plan sort of fades a little bit at some point. You just start a new prayer plan. And that has happened with me on occasion. I've had times when I've put all my prayers into my Google to-do lists, and then each morning they pop up again and I pray through them and then check them off. And the next day they pop up again and I add and change them and do all those things. I still do that for some things, but at some point, some of those checklists kind of just faded away. And then I got to, you know, think of a new way to remind myself each day to be a prayer and to have some sort of prayer plan. Be intentional in this, and it's going to make a difference, because as we stay connected and close to the vine, as we are seeking, trusting Jesus, then God's Spirit and God's power is going to be at work in ways that are mysterious to us and unexplainable in many senses, that God asks us to pray on behalf of these students, that his power might be at work. Well, I hope those four things are helpful. And a long time ago, we actually created a resource for youth workers, and it's called Student Ministry Leadership Development and Devotions. It's basically just 13 one-page printable sheets, and or there's links on there as well. It's really simple to pick up and download from our website. And if you go to timpriceblog.com and find this post on the tips for an overwhelmed youth worker, you can take a look and purchase that. And then you can use it with your team. You can just send those one-page PDFs or links to your volunteer teams or other leaders in your ministry, however you'd like to do that. And if you'd like to see a free sample, you can also just go to timpriceblog.com. In addition to that, we actually added this resource as a part of a bundle of resources, every digital resource we have, and it's all on our website and on this blog post in particular. I think the Student Ministry Leader Devotions and Development are somewhere around $9 or $11, but all the resources together are priced at $49. And so you're welcome to take a look at that. And if it's helpful, you can grab it And if you have any questions, you can let us know. Well, I want to thank you again. If you're a part of working in ministry with the next generation, I know that it can be kind of tough at times. There's a lot to put together. It seems like we're doing a lot of planning and preparing and event and details and administration, but also just the pastoral shepherd heart for lives of students who are sponges, really, for things of faith, for Jesus. And we need to be ready and available with all that we have. And one final word. I know there are seasons when we just kind of get overwhelmed. And so I don't want this list to be overwhelming for you. It might be that you just need to step back and just plan on doing the basics for 2 or 3 weeks. Just bare bone it for a while. And then allow yourself to just get a little rejuvenated or refocused so that you are able to do all you can and all that you desire to do in the lives of students in your ministry. Well, thanks for being a part of the podcast. If you have a student ministry worker in your church you can share this with, feel free to do that. And I look forward to speaking with you next time. Thanks.